May the Lord help us to commence with hymn number 1052. Redeemer, whither should I flee, or how escape the wrath to come? The weary sinner flies to thee for shelter from impending doom. Smile on me, gracious Lord, and show thyself the friend of sinners now. Hymn 1052.
Thank you. This morning I wish to read from two portions of God's holy word. Firstly, the first book of Kings and part of chapter 8. 1 Kings chapter 8. We will read from verse 22 to verse 53. This is the prayer of Solomon at the dedication of the temple. And may we remember when reading this prayer that the temple is a type of our Lord Jesus Christ. From verse 22, "And Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the congregation of Israel, and spread forth his hands toward heaven, and he said, Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee, in heaven above or on earth beneath, who keepest covenant and mercy with thy servants that walk before thee with all their heart, who hast kept with thy servant David my father that thou promised him. Thou spakest also with thy mouth, and hast fulfilled it with thine hand, as it is this day. Therefore now, Lord God of Israel, keep with thy servant David my father that thou promisest him, saying, There shall not fail thee a man in my sight to sit on the throne of Israel, so that thy children take heed to their way, that they walk before me as thou hast walked before me. And now, O God of Israel, let thy word, I pray thee, be verified, which thou spakest unto thy servant David my father. But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, the heaven of heaven of heavens cannot contain thee, and how much less this house that I have builded. Yet have thou respect unto the prayer of thy servant, and to his supplication, O Lord my God, to hearken unto the cry and to the prayer which thy servant prayeth before thee today, that thine eyes may be open toward this house night and day, even toward the place of which thou hast said, My name shall be there, that thou mayest hearken unto the prayer which thy servant shall make toward this place. And hearken thou in this to the supplication of thy servant and of thy people Israel, when they shall pray toward this place, and hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and when thou hearest, forgive. If any man trespass against his neighbour, and an oath be laid upon him, to cause him to swear, and the oath come before thine altar in this house, then hear thou in heaven, and do and judge thy servants, condemning the wicked to bring his way upon his head, and justifying the righteous to give him according to his righteousness. When thy people Israel be smitten down before the enemy, because they have sinned against thee, and shall turn again to thee and confess thy name, and pray and make supplication unto thee in this house, then hear thou in heaven, and forgive the sin of thy people Israel, and bring them again unto the land which thou gavest unto their fathers. When heaven is shut up, and there is no rain, because they have sinned against thee, if they pray toward this place, and confess thy name, and turn from their sin when thou afflictest them, then hear thou in heaven, and forgive the sin of thy servants, and of thy people Israel, that thou teach them the good way wherein they should walk, and give rain upon thy land, which thou hast given to thy people for an inheritance. If there be in the land famine, if there be pestilence, blasting, mildew, locust, or if there be caterpillar, if their enemy besiege them in the land of their cities, whatsoever plague, whatsoever sickness there be, what prayer and supplication soever be made by any man, or by all thy people Israel, which shall know every man the plague of his own heart, and spread forth his hands toward this house, then hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and forgive and do, and give to every man according to his ways, whose heart thou knowest. For thou, even thou only, knowest the hearts of all the children of men, that they may fear thee all the days that they live in the land which thou gavest unto our fathers. Moreover, concerning a stranger that is not of thy people Israel, but cometh out of a far country for thy name's sake, for they shall hear of thy great name, and of thy strong hand, and of thy stretched out arm. When he shall come and pray toward this house, hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and do according to all that the stranger calleth to thee for, that all people of the earth may know thy name, to fear thee, as do thy people Israel, and that they may know that this house which I have builded is called by thy name. If thy people go out to battle against their enemy, whithersoever thou shalt send them, and shalt pray unto the Lord toward the city which thou hast chosen, and toward the house that I have built for thy name, then hear thou in heaven their prayer and their supplication, and maintain their cause. If they sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with them, and deliver them to the enemy, so that they carry them away captives unto the land of the enemy, far or near. Yet if they shall bethink themselves in the land whither they are carried captives, and repent and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carried them captives, saying, we have sinned and have done perversely, we have committed wickedness, and so return unto thee with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their enemies, which led them away captive, and pray unto thee toward their land, which thou gavest unto their fathers, the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which I have built for thy name. Then hear thou their prayer and their supplication in heaven thy dwelling place, and maintain their cause, and forgive thy people that have sinned against thee, and all their transgressions wherein they have transgressed against thee, and give them compassion before them who carried them captive, that they may have compassion on them. For they be thy people, and thine inheritance, which thou broughtest forth out of Egypt, from the midst of the furnace of iron, that thine eyes may be open unto the supplication of thy servant, and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto them in all that they call for unto thee. For thou didst separate them from among all the people of the earth to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of the Egypt, O Lord God. So reads the prayer of Solomon. Now let us turn to this book of Psalms, Psalm 61, the 61st Psalm. Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me, and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle for ever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings, Selah. For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Thou wilt prolong the king's life, and his years as many generations. He shall abide before God for ever. O prepare mercy and truth, which may preserve him. So will I sing praise unto thy name for ever, that I may daily perform my vows. May the Lord bless those readings of his holy word and help us to pray. O Lord God of heaven and of earth, we come to thee through our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, and we thank thee for that name which is above every name, and for that new and that living way that thou hast consecrated for us through the veil, that we may not only pray toward thy temple, but pray to our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the true and the living God, our advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. O Lord, we do thank thee that we do live in the day of grace, in the types and the shadows, so much a gospel to those who have gone before us. But Lord, the bright light of the gospel and the clear shining, O Lord, help us this day to lift up a precious Christ, to reveal and to show forth him who is set forth from through the ages and from everlasting, and is made known in these last days through the preaching of the gospel. We do thank thee for the gift of thy beloved Son. We do thank thee for the sacrifice offered at Calvary, Lord, for the one sacrifice that this world will ever truly know, and that one that it only needs. Lord, do thou be pleased to grant that we might know that our sins were laid upon thee there, that thou didst suffer in our place there, and that every blessing that comes to us through Jesus' precious blood. O Lord, we do thank thee for the means of grace, for the throne of grace, the Church of God, especially as we gather here, the Church here and the congregation gathered here. We thank thee that we're able to gather with freedom from fear of persecution, without let or hindrance, around thy word at this time. Do make this time special, Lord. Do come to us through it. Do speak through thy word. Do apply it with power to the hearts of the people. O Lord, thou hast said through the apostle that as he was not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And we see, Lord, that power that makes believers amongst us here this morning. to deliver from the power of unbelief, from the power of Satan, from the pull of this world, to come with thy light and shine in each benighted and dark heart, to grant the light of life, to grant the quickening of the new birth, and where there is that birth and the seed sown, to grant that there might be a growth in grace and in a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Make thy people to flourish in the courts of their God, to make them to be as fruitful vines. Make them to be as those who show forth the praises of them who hath brought them out of nature's darkness and into thy marvellous light. Lord, we do thank thee for thy people, for thy manifested grace, and for every blessing and help that we have in review. We thank thee for remembrance of former helps and mercies here. We pray thy blessing, thy help, in the ministry, in the whole service here. For Lord, we need thy help to speak. Lord, our dear brethren at the desk, they need thy help in the choosing of the hymns. And Lord, the congregation, Lord, we each need thy help, that we have an open ear, a hearing ear. And Lord, we need thee to come with thy almighty power and to bless the word. O Lord, we are dependent upon thee for thy blessing, but thou art able to give it, and thou art to be entreated of for it. And we pray for it. We look to thee for it, Lord. O leave us not unmoved, untouched, but do grant, Lord, the quickening work of thy Spirit, and that the word might be truly a living word from thee. O Lord, do come. Do come to us this day. Do bless us here. Make this day to be one of the days of the Son of Man upon earth. Make this day to be a day of release for some burdened soul. Make this day to be a day that is to be remembered, Lord, for the remainder of one's life. O Lord, we know that there are some here that have those spots and places which shall never be forgotten. And when we think we've forgotten them, then thou dost bring them to our remembrance again. And Lord, when thou dost do that, it is with sweetness and savour and a degree of renewed power again. O Lord, visit to the friends, former helps and mercies. Lord, we want to know, and in our own experience, that thou art the same God, the same yesterday and today and forever. We believe it, but Lord, make us to feel it. And Lord, we do seek of thee, that thou hast get to thyself from sinners who so often are filled with pride and would mar every blessing and every good that thou dost show. Lord, get to thyself by thy wisdom and by thy own work, glory and honour and praise, even out of such worms of earth and such sinners. Lord, thou hast said that this people have I formed for myself, and they shall show forth my praise. O teach our tongues then to sing thy praise with a single tongue, and putting the crown solely on thy head. O Lord, do remember those that feel low this day. Remember those that may feel at the ends of the earth. Remember those that may feel overwhelmed. Lord, remember those ready to sink, those who feel weighted down, heavy laden. Lord, those burdened souls, we pray for them. We pray especially for them today. O Lord, undertake for them. Do help them and do come. Do come where they are and do them good. And so, Lord, we would wait upon thee. Lord, we thank thee for the treasure in our Lord Jesus Christ, the fullness, that which shall never be exhausted, never wear out. And Lord, thou who dost administer it, that there is nothing impossible with thee, nothing too hard for thee. Lord, we believe, help thou our unbelief. And so, Lord, we do seek thy blessing, giving thee thanks for every mercy and every favour, for thou art a good and gracious God. Lead us to repentance. Forgive our many, many deep, black, deep-dyed sins, and wash us in the Saviour's precious blood. We ask in his dear name alone. Amen.
Hymn 473. Lord, I am thine, but thou wilt prove my faith, my patience, and my love. When men of spite against me join, they are the sword, the hand is thine. Hymn 473.
Seeking for the help of the Lord, I direct your prayerful attention to Psalm 61. And reading for our text, verse 2. Psalm 61 and verse 2. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee, when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. This is a psalm of David. This is a psalm in which he clearly expresses and sets forth previous helps that he has had. It is not written by an unbeliever and one that does not know the blessings and helps and goodness of the Lord. He does know. And he sets these things forth here. He says in verse 3, Thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. He even professes, I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings. He does not cast away what the Lord has done for him, what the Lord is to him, what the Lord has been in times past. Cast not away your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. We are not to despise or to throw away any blessing, any help that the Lord has given to us. But use that as an undergirding, as a profession, as a strength, when we are in times of trouble and of need, as in the beginning of this psalm, hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. Where is he? From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. What is his situation at the end of the earth when my heart is overwhelmed? Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Dear friends, if there are those of you here have known the goodness and blessing and helps of the Lord, do not forget that. Remember also the Lord is one that will not repent. When he blesses his people, he does not take those blessings away. You think of how even with the Ninevites, when the Lord gave them repentance through the preaching of Jonah, and then Jonah wanted the Lord to change his mind and to destroy them. The Lord would not do it. And when the Lord blesses his people, it is like he said to Mary, Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. But one thing that we are clearly taught here is those of the Lord's people that he has helped and he has blessed do get into places where they have to cry to the Lord, when they do not have strength themselves, and when they cannot find the Lord and need to be led to him. It clearly shows us what the experience and feeling of a living soul is. And these things are set before us for our admonition, for our comfort, and that we might be helped in them. That which was written aforetime is written for our instruction, that we through patient and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. It is the hope that is set before us, that we have a prayer hearing and an answering God. And blessed is the soul that in their path they can say, I have been given the key to that. I have tasted of that. I have known the Lord has given me prayer. He has answered prayer. And we are not to forget those times when the Lord has been a shelter, when he has been our help, when he has heard our prayers. And then when we come into fresh trials and depths and sorrows and the heart sinks and many fears come, we change, but the Lord does not change. And so that is set before us here. There is an illustration here as well. An illustration that perhaps the children, the young ones here, will also be able to understand. Some of you, you know that I had 31 years or so over in Australia. That's a long way away. You might think that's at the end of the earth, 11, 12,000 miles away. Some of you, when you get older, you might think, well, I'd like to see a bit of the world, and I'm going to go over to Australia, and you'll be over there, a long way away from your parents, your support, your help. And while you're over there, then you get into trouble. You get into trouble so that you can't manage them. They're too hard for you. You go right over your head, as it were. It may be that in that time you pick up your phone and you cry back to mum and dad and you say, help, I'm crying from the other side of the earth and this is the troubles that I'm in. Can you help me? Can you tell me where to go? Can you show me what to do and help me in this situation? And two things that make it urgent, the distance that you are away from the one you're crying to, and the actual trouble that you're in there highlights that distance, how far you are away. Often that happens, you know. You know, very many times in my life, being that far away, sometimes you don't really notice it, but when you have loved ones that are in trouble, or loved ones that are dying, then you really feel that distance. You can't just walk next door. You can't get in the car and go. You've got water in between. You've got a day and a half travel even by plane. And you really feel that distance. And this is the illustration that is here. The psalmist says, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. And all of you think of one that may be in the sea and the waters are overwhelming, going right over that person, but he knows that somewhere near that there is a rock, somewhere there is something that is higher than him, that he'd be able to lift it up out of those waters in a place of safety, but he cannot get to it and he doesn't know where it is, and so he wants to be led, and that is his cry, lead me to that rock, that I might find that rock and find that place of safety. And in that sense, it is quite a vivid illustration, a vivid picture, but it has the spiritual teaching there based on that. And if you think of the natural picture, think of what he is describing, and then we look at it in the spiritual way. And so I want to look then, firstly, at the conditions that David was in, and then secondly, what he knew of the place of safety and of refuge. And then thirdly, the substance of David's cry. So firstly, the condition that he was in. When you think of the illustration and what it says here, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. That is the first condition. Very, very far off. And we are told this very clearly, that by nature we are far off from God. We can understand it when we think of being at the end of the earth, like the picture I tried to show. But we are far, far off from God by nature, spiritually. Not literally, because the Apostle Paul, when he came to Mars Hill and he saw them worshipping an unknown God and having an altar, he said, him that ye ignorantly worship, I declare unto you, that he is not far from any one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being. So in that sense, he's very, very close unto us. But we, by our wicked works and by our sins, are far off from God. Far off. Really, an illustration like this does not really picture it. as it really is. Whenever we hear and we read in the Word of God about the gospel and about the work of the Lord, he brings his people from afar. When he tells the parable of the prodigal son, he'd gone, he'd taken all his, what was due unto him, and he went into a far country. And in that far country that he wasted his substance in riotous living. And it was from that place that he was brought nigh again and brought near and again to his father. It is taught with the apostle in the Ephesians, ye that sometime were far off, hath he made nigh. And it is by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The state and the condition that we are in, we go back to the Garden of Eden, where our first parents had sweet communion with the Lord. They could talk with him. They enjoyed his presence. He came in the cool of the day. But when Satan came, and when sin entered into the world by their voluntary sin, their free sinning, we sinned in them, and we fell in them, and we were banished from the garden as they were. Sin, it separates. I often think of what is said of when the doctrine, the teaching of Melchizedek is set forth, that Levi, the tribe of Levi, which was one of Jacob's sons, that they paid tithes in Abraham when Abraham paid tithes to Melchizedek. And that is taught in Hebrews. And it is the same way that we sinned in Adam. And that we all partake of that fall and of that banishment and death that is in the world is very evident all the way around us. But death spiritually, that is as real, more so, even than that literally. Born in sin and shapen in iniquity, alienated from God through wicked works, afar off from God. God is not in all their thoughts, is said of the wicked. And so it is also with us all by nature. How many of us feelingly realize that and know that? The solemn truth of it is the most solemn thing. Oh, I would set the reality before us each here. Without that solemn change, without being brought nigh, without realizing and knowing how far off we are, beyond the grave, then there's banishment eternally, the distance eternally. Depart from me, all ye that work iniquity. Our Lord Jesus Christ, see, if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall perish in your sins. And for every unbeliever, everyone that remains ignorant of that way of salvation and never ever feels the need of it, shall perish eternally. Do not deceive ourselves, dear friends. We are all under sin and under the condemnation of the law. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. All outside of Christ shall perish. The same as all outside of the ark, Noah's ark, they all perished. And that is so, all outside of Christ. We have here, though, David, who we said knew the Lord. He had known that distance, and he'd been brought nigh, and he'd been blessed by the Lord, and he knew the Lord. But now he, in his feelings, is again afar off. He is not dead like he once was. He is not forgetful of what the Lord has once done. But he has known the blessing, the sweetness, the loveliness of communion with the Lord. He has known what it is to have the smile, the favour, the presence of the Lord, and he hasn't got it now. Those of you here, especially perhaps husbands, wives, how easy it is to take for granted the smile, the voice, the blessings of being together and in the home. But if one was called to go the other side of the world, I hope you'd miss that. And then perhaps you'd realise what a wonderful thing it was that you take for granted now, and you wish you hadn't. And you long for those things so that you could hear their voice, you could see them, you could walk with them, but you don't. And so is spiritually with the Lord. Those that know the Lord and those that have walked with the Lord and those who have had his blessing and know that love that passeth all understanding and whose desire is to be with him and to hold communion and fellowship with him, when that is broken, when the Lord hides his face, when they feel to be so far off, then they really feel it. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. In Solomon's prayer that we read, he supposed this. He anticipated the varying conditions that God's people would come into. And each time, and many of them, was because of their own sin, because of their own foolishness, and that the enemy was used. We sung in their first hymn how that they are the sword, the hand is thine. That was the case with the children of Israel many, many times. He used them. He used Nebuchadnezzar, my servant, to punish, to deal with Israel. And many of them he did. Dear David himself, the sword shall not depart from thy house. Whose hand was holding that sword? When Absalom, his own son, was pursuing him, when he was fleeing up out of Jerusalem, and when Shimei was casting dust and dirt at him, and saying all manner of things against him, as if David was an absolute reprobate, and this, what was happening to him, was absolute proof of it. And some said to David, let us go over and take off his head. And David said, let him curse, for the Lord hath bidden him. Maybe the Lord will requite me good for his cursing this day. And you know the sense of David's sin. And what he was before the Lord, he humbled before the Lord. A very different character, very different grace than Abishai, than those of the sons of Zeruiah, his own sister's sons, that constantly were trying to provoke him to do very different than the spirit that God had given him. But he knew those times, that then he was driven away. And no doubt psalms like this were those times when he was away from Jerusalem, away from his own home, in the Philistines' land, or in Ziklag, or in some cave. You know, the time when he longed for the well of Jerusalem, of Bethlehem's well. There were those that thought he meant it literally, as it were, that they could go and get some water, and David would be happy with that. That would satisfy him. But there was all the bound up of the Lord's blessings with it. He wanted to be brought to that well with the Lord's blessing and partake of it and see the Lord's hand and realise that the Lord had brought him back again. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. The one here, and that is your place, you feel and have felt for some time to be at the end of the earth. Your prayers seem hard and cold. You don't seem to gain the ear of the Lord. You feel but a stranger in the house of God. The word is a dry breath to you. You feel to be as shut out from the presence of the Lord. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. And then in this position, while in that position, remember our illustration. The one that is at the other side of the earth, when they get into trouble. How easy it would be if the same trouble they had was right here next door. Be a lot less, wouldn't it? But the very fact that they're far away makes that same trouble much, much harder. And so here is one. And in that condition, then has this trouble. Then have their heart to be overwhelmed with trouble. You think of the floods that were in the land some time ago, and when the waters came and they overwhelmed the land, if you saw the photographs where the floods were, you couldn't see the roads, you couldn't see the hedges, you couldn't see the gardens, they were all gone, they were all overwhelmed, they were there, but the waters were all over them. And this is what is set forth here. And how often it is with the Lord's people, is not one trouble that comes and one trial that comes, but one after another comes. Hezekiah has Rabshakeh and Sennacherib coming against Jerusalem. And he is the captain of the army, he is the king. And at the same time, the Lord smites him and he is sick unto death. One thing after another. And yet in his line is to the line of Christ. And that's going to be cut off, because set thy house in order, because thou shalt die and not live. One trouble after another. Like David, one trouble because of Absalom, he flees from Jerusalem. Then he has Shimei make his trouble even worse. Then he has the wilderness and the needs and the trials that are with there. One thing after another. We know the way and working of the Lord to bring us to prayer and to bring us to cry and to bring us to our knees. You might think I could deal with a lot better if I was nigh to the Lord, if I had access in prayer, if I had the Lord's face, I could face these trials, I could face these troubles, and I could bear through with them. What of our sin? What of the iniquity of our heart? You might say, that's a reason why I'm far off. But it's also what is overwhelming me. Is just too much for me, the iniquities and sins and desperate wickedness of my soul. A burden too much for us to carry. Sins gone over our head. And yet the Lord uses these very things. The distance felt that away from him, and the trial and the trouble that is too much for that soul. And he uses it to bring a cry, no longer just prayer, but a cry unto the Lord. Might be those of you here who thought, how can I ever be brought nigh again? How will the Lord ever hear my groans and my sighs? You may have been comforted by that. The Spirit maketh intercession with groanings that cannot be uttered, and he does. But how shall things be changed? And then the Lord begins to put troubles. Troubles in your lot and trials in your lot. And we see that this is how the Lord begins to change the things for good in your soul. Not to destroy you, not to cut you off, but to bring you nigh again. And these two things meet. When united troubles and trials meet, show a path of safe retreat. Show a way unto the Lord. And this psalm, it points this. It shows this way. David speaks to us. The Spirit speaks through David This is the path. This is how I deal with my people. This is the path that they know. Well, there was three things that David knew. And he knew of the place of safety and of refuge. That's the thing, when the Lord instructs and teaches us, and that instruction and teaching, that affects our prayers, and that affects where we go and how we act. When the Lord appeared from the dead and rose from the dead, and he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. Now, true religion is the understanding opened and shown forth and taught. They shall all be taught of God. It's all through and from the Word of God. Well, David, here, there's three things. And the first is concerning the rock. He knew that there was a rock. He knew that there was that which was solid. He was sinking. He was overwhelmed. But there was a rock. And we think of what was set forth of the children of Israel. Paul sets it forth to the Corinthians. They drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. And the rock in the wilderness, what was done to it, dear friends? It was struck at the command of God. And when that rock was struck, then the waters flowed out. But that rock was only to be struck once. Later on, again, the children of Israel chided, and they chided with Moses. And he then was told by the Lord not to strike the rock again. Speak unto the rock. But Moses, he struck the rock twice. And he said, must I bring you water out of this rock, ye rebels? And because Moses did not sanctify the Lord, he did not set the Lord apart in that holy place, he spake unadvisedly, in a way it really destroyed the time. Christ, the rock, must sacrifice once at Calvary only. And he is laid down his life in love. Not in anger and not in wrath. It's not, must I die at Calvary and bring forth salvation, ye rebels? No. He laid down his life. He loved his dear people. And it was love that brought him to this earth. It love that brought him to suffer for them and to lay down his life as a freewill offering. All that he does for his people is from love. And this is that rock. And David knew and spoke of the Lord as his rock, as his refuge, his anchor, that which was immovable, the rock of ages. He who is set forth, as we said, with the temple, he who is the everlasting rock and refuge of his people, the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. What do we know and have shown forth of the Lord Jesus Christ? The Old Testament saints, they long for his coming, they look for his coming. Solomon at the temple, he says, shall this house that I have builded contain thee? The heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. How much less this house that I have builded? Will God indeed dwell on the earth? He did. Our Lord Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. Dear Job, in the midst of his trials, in the midst of all the troubles that came upon him, you think how it came, wave upon dear Job, godly man, man that feared God. He says, I know that my Redeemer liveth and that he shall stand at the last day upon the earth. He knew of that rock. He knew of that eternal rock. David here knows it. Have we a rock? You know, even the enemies of the people of God, they had to say, that their rock is not like our rock, that the rock or the support or the refuge of the world is not like that refuge of the people of God. Nothing comes up to what the Lord Jesus Christ is to his dear people. Other refuge have I none, hangs my helpless soul on thee. Dear friend, if the Lord has given you that knowledge of the Lord, you need no other rock. Whatever trouble, whatever trial comes, the Lord is the same. There's none better, there's no stronger, there's no other rock save our God. And David, he knew this. But then he also knew that he was higher than I. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Paul, when he writes to the Hebrews, he says that our Lord was exalted and lifted up higher than the heavens. And this is the position of the Lord. David, he knew this, not only that the Lord should come upon this earth, not only that he should suffer here and lay down his life, but that he should be raised up again and that he should ascend up on high and that he should be at the right hand of God, and there he should be the advocate with the Father. There he should be in that position of authority and power. In the Old Testament times, they set it forth, but how wonderful, how beautiful is the reality. When you think of dear Daniel in his troubles and trials, when he knew the writing was signed, when he knew that he was to be cast into the lion's den because the law could not be changed, then he opens his windows and he looks towards Jerusalem, just as was being said in Solomon's prayer, and he prayed toward that place. No, dear Daniel, he wasn't just praying towards that temple. At that time it was all broken down, but he was looking to what it set forth, the Lord Jesus Christ. But then what a wonder with Daniel to be brought up out of that lion's den. As much as the lion's den was empty of Daniel, so the tomb was empty of our Lord, and our Lord to be ascended up on high, higher than I. Often think of what a wonderful provision, the way that the gospel is set forth, in that our Lord, he says, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. But our Lord himself, the very flesh and bones that hung upon the cross, as our articles say, is glorified in heaven. And yet by his Spirit and the mystery of the Trinity, Father, Son and Holy Spirit, that he is present with us and he is with us to the end of the world. But he is set up on high. And he says, because I live, ye shall live also. No more in this world, no more with the rude iron nails and the spear, but in this exalted place above, but with authority enthroned on high. Now he asks, now he presents in that place. It's a beautiful picture for the people of God. You know, when the Lord takes his dear people home, Satan cannot touch them. All their sorrows, their sicknesses, their illnesses, the world, it cannot touch them. They are safe, they're within the veil. And our Lord is gone before as the first fruits, and he is within the veil. He is in that place of safety. He is with that, that none can touch him. We know, of course, on the earth, when they tried to take him, he walked through the midst of them. They couldn't take him. But it's a beautiful picture for us. No more shall it be the perplexed disciples, but we trusted. It should have been he that should have redeemed Israel. No more that there should be that turn of events, that the one in whom they trusted has been taken from them, crucified, and men seem to have had their own way with them. No, our Lord has done that. He has sealed it with his blood. He has risen from the grave, and for the church of God, still in the toiling and rowing, still in this world, that the Lord is a sympathizing high priest known and has walked through, look upon him who is above. Let us run the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, this rock that is higher than I. Consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. It is who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now set down on the right hand of the throne of God on high. And David knew this. Do your trials do mine? Make us to look more to a desired haven where Christ is, where he is set above these things and beyond these things. Do trials make the promise sweet? Do they make that rest to be a desired rest? No, if you've been on the sea, if you've been buffeted and trialed, it is lovely to obtain the harbour. No, I know the times when we used to go from Melbourne to Tasmania in a very rough trip, and you'd get up in the morning and you'd think, oh, 8 o'clock, we'll be docking now. And then they announce, because it's been so rough, it's going to be 6 hours late in docking. You've got another 6 hours of that rough passage still to go. And it makes the haven even more desired. And you really long for it. But you know it's there. And so it is with the people of God. And David here, the rock that was higher than I. But there's something else that he knew. And he knew that the only way that he could get to it was to be led to it. So, David, you know the rock? You know Christ? You know where he is? Can't you just go? Can't you just get to that? Those of you who know the Lord, can you get to your God? Can you find him? Can you obtain it yourself, or does this prayer, this cry, suit you? Because David, he knew the only way that he would get to it was that he would be led to it. Do you know that? You say, I know my helplessness. I know my condition I'm in now, and I know that I remain in it in this way. May you know this as David did, that the way that he could get and the only way was to be led to it. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And so thirdly, I want to look at his prayer. This is the substance of it. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. A poor, helpless sinner, but knowing where help is found. The gospel is a gospel that leads. When he putteth forth his sheep, he goeth before them. When he putteth forth his sheep, he leadeth them out. He led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. No man can come unto me except the Father that sent me drive him. Draw him. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. To be drawn, to be attracted, drawn by love. Led, not pulled. We used to have a dog and you put him on the lead and sometimes we had to pull him. And sometimes he thought that he would go a lot faster than us and then we'd pull him back. It's a very different thing to be led. Neither having to be pulled nor pulled back, but led of the Lord. Some people sometimes will use in a glib way or in a perhaps a light way and say many times that they've been led of the Lord. But if you're in this position here, then there's a very clear, definite way. Lead me to the rock. Lead me to Christ, who is higher than I. How does the Lord lead his dear people? Well, one way is through the sense of their distance and the trials that are coming. And then he joins with it the word of God, joins with it the preaching of the word, the setting forth of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how the eunuch who began, and he didn't know who in the word that the prophet was speaking about, himself or some other man. But Philip, he came, he was sent, he was brought to him, began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. He led him to Jesus. We think of how it was with Philip who came to Nathanael, come, see a man. We have found him of whom Moses and the prophets did write. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Come and see. He led him there. Used. The Lord uses his servants, uses his people. Perhaps sometimes just a word that is spoken, and the Lord uses it in power, and it brings them unto Christ. How many times you read when our Lord was on earth, and they bring him unto Jesus. That one that was born of four, the Lord saw their faith, and he says to the man sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee. May that be an encouragement for us to pray for one another and bear one another's burdens. But specifically to bring to Christ. The work of the Holy Spirit is to reveal Christ and to bring souls to Christ. Trials of themselves will never do it. Sicknesses of themselves will never do it. It hardens countless millions when they have troubles in their families, troubles in their circumstance. And it will harden us too if it was only our own work. You and I have no power to make to work for good any trial or any trouble that we come into. But the Lord in one touch can. Can make it work for an everlasting good. Now, if we are led to the rock that is higher than I, we'll be led to Calvary, and we're led to his sufferings and to his death, and what brought him to be higher than what we are. Fellowship with him in his sufferings. To trace that path from the cross to the crown. And the Lord says, partner of my throne thou shalt be, partner of my tribulation thou shalt be also. He shall give grace and glory. No good thing shall he withhold from them that walk uprightly. In the path of the people of God, they have their master to go before. And the Lord will teach them a little of what that cup was and of what that cross was. Do you hear him on the cross? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Forsaken him. He had only just spoken of how close his Father was, and that I and my Father are one. But now forsaken? Even the coming down to this earth. And our Lord prayed, and his path was a path of prayer, the same as dear David here, and the same as you and I must be. And even when he is in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he says, thinkest thou not that I might pray my Father, and he shall presently give me 12 legion of angels. A legion is between 3,600 or 6,000 men, that's 72,000 angels. But how then shall the scripture be fulfilled? If I use my power in that way, the cross could not be escaped. And the Lord says with his dear people that they also are to take up their cross and follow him. And Christ's cross was because of the sins of his people. And shall his people then never know the bitterness of their sins? Never know what an evil thing sin is? Never know what it is in their soul's feelings to be far off from the Lord? Or to have overwhelming them all of the wrath of God? Our Lord Jesus Christ, bowed down, pressed down, overwhelmed, and the people of God are not to be strangers to that. Do your trials under the Lord's blessing lead you to consider him? May your prayer be this: lead me to the rock that is higher than I. But if the Lord doesn't, he'll lead you in this way to Calvary and to think of his sufferings. Maybe you'll have the language of the hymn writer: his way was much rougher and darker than mine. Shall my Lord suffer and shall I repine? Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Solomon's prayer was a long prayer. It was a prayer that was heard. We are told very clearly it was. The Lord came with a cloud upon the temple. This prayer is a short prayer. It was also an answered prayer. The Canaanite woman's prayer was a short prayer. Lord, help me. It was also worship. She came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. And the Lord tried it, but he answered it. She came to the Lord Jesus Christ, and she was not sent away empty. And here is a prayer for one in this position, and with their heart overwhelmed, and because of that which they know, not casting away, not listening to the enemy of their souls, that all the time will try to divide and to separate between you and your God. But asking this of the Lord: lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Lead me to Christ. Lead me to Christ. It is the Lord's work. When the Lord answers the prayer, in his time, his way, he will lead unto Christ. It is the Spirit's work to glorify him. Now there will be no doubt with that contrast. When you are brought nigh, when you are set on safety from him that puffeth at you, when you are brought nigh to him and feel that blessing in your soul and feel the sweets of the love of God and hear his voice through his word, what a contrast. Then are they glad because they are quiet. So he bringeth them in this manner to their desired haven. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. May this work be for one of you here this morning. Amen.
The collections last Lord's Day for Christian Concern amounted to £860, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Izzard will preach on Tuesday evening and Mr. Henry Mercer next Lord's Day. And our friends at Oakington hold their anniversary service on Wednesday. Let us close with hymn 289. Thus far my God has led me on, and made his truth and mercy known. My hopes and fears alternate rise, and comforts mingle with my sighs. Hymn 289.
Thank you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.